My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for him World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the tremble in his voice.
She suffered a fairly severe beating, and the video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems almost impossible.
It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
They have not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about security concerns before January 6th.
They're out for blood, and they're getting it. They appear to be winning.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line? Were there violations in use of force?
Now I describe it as an inside job.
I'm ready to do whatever God calls me.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he is still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. Well, it's Thursday, and remember that in the last half hour of our program, and then we continue on our social media platforms, we are doing our outreach services in India, and so we encourage you live over Skype. We go to the unreached areas and share the good news, pray for the people, and then serve meals as well and get them connected with our ministries there. So we encourage you to join us every Thursday, and you can watch our services live on air. We broadcast nationally and internationally across our media platforms as well. Also on the program today, John Euler will be with us. We'll talk about the trans agenda. We'll talk about Wander, young shortstop playing for the Tampa Rays and that situation. And it's interesting. It reminds me, it may well turn out to be another Tawana Brawley type of situation. Duke lacrosse players, there's some background in there, and we'll see what happens, although there is an investigation opened, as there should be. But, of course, there were investigations open regarding those situations as well. I'm talking about the Duke lacrosse situation and Al Sharpton, who is the biggest farce that ever lived. At any rate, there you go. I know. Well, whatever he wants to do, go ahead. Come on, Al. Come on the program and let's talk about how you damaged lives with those lies and continue to damage lives with your lies. Let's see. Also coming up today on the program, bottom of this hour, we will have joining us on the show Bob Woodson, Robert Woodson Sr., founder and president of the Woodson Center. And we'll be talking with him, and I'm sure he has a lot of interesting things to share that he could share about Al Sharpton, quite frankly. So we'll talk about that. But joining me right now, and I'm so glad to have him back. It's been far too long. Let me just put it that way. It's been far too long. And we met at CPAC many years ago, and it was what a joy to have had the opportunity to connect with him at CPAC, and then subsequently many times thereafter. I'm very pleased to welcome the president and founder of the Jewish Coalition on Values. And I know I probably just munched that, but I have their website up. It's the coalitionofjewishvalues.org is the website too. Coalition of Jewish Values. I want to welcome Rabbi Yaakov Menken. Rabbi,
thank
welcome.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you so much for having me back. It's actually the Coalition for Jewish Values, just because Coalition of would imagine like we're the repository. And, you know, it's like we don't claim to be the arbiters of Jewish values. Those are determined by that library.
Yes, sir.
I spent thousands of dollars on that Zoom backdrop. You better appreciate it. But that's, the idea that there are Jewish values and they're not being represented accurately in the public sphere. And actually, although you're right that I am the one running the show, chief clerk and bottle washer, my title is actually managing director, because it's like a step back, a step down, saying, look, we're just here to represent what the consensus of the traditionally educated rabbis is. All of this nonsense that you hear from the left is just crazy, and that's what we're here to correct.
Well, and you know, you're probably the perfect person to ask this of, because this is a real pet peeve of mine. I've talked for years, as you have, as you know, we've talked for years about these values, about the issues of abortion, the issues of traditional marriage, the LGBTQ agenda and what it was doing and its destruction on our culture and so on. And people always say, I'm sure they say it to you because they've said it to me, oh, you're just interested in social issues. You just want to talk about social issues, as if they're somehow a step below in importance to everything else. How do you respond to that, Rabbi?
That question, it just begins from an outrageous place, because what they call social issues are actually the fundamental moral underpinnings of civilization itself. That is what the left is dedicated right now to tearing out and tearing down. And it's manifesting itself in all sorts of ways. When you have a society that is incredibly callous about life and property, that's how you have smash and grab robberies, where if somebody tries to get in your way, you shoot them. You know, this, yeah. This, the fact that things are going out of control in the cities at the time when we are debating these issues, and more just saying whatever Western civilization does is bad, which is all, of course, based on biblical values. That stuff, one after the other, it's all coming together. It's all about the teardown of American society.
So, you know, I've heard this from libertarians, and I've heard it from conservatives. And I just want to be clear. I agree. The assault is coming from the liberals. But the play down and the minimization message is coming from conservatives and libertarians, who again say that these social issues that you and I are talking about, these quote-unquote moral issues, are really not nearly as important as, you know, war or the economy or power grids or whatever. My argument is that you can't get any of that straight if it's all imploding on a platform that's broken.
Well, that's true. I mean, obviously, we see that technology is moving forward consistently. We are working together to make things like, well, the power grid more reliable. And of course, there are others who are economic experts who can debate about economic policy. Although, of course, economic policy that takes away a person's individual property, of course, that's our issue. Of course, we care about that, too. But you can't have, like you just said, any of that if you don't have a fundamentally moral society. You know, if you have a society of, you know, the Germans were great at making the trains run on time, you know, as Candace Owens said, if that's all Hitler said, cared about, keeping the trains running on time, we wouldn't have a problem. That only takes you so far. You've got to have a society of people who are actually working together to build a better society. And that is what, you know, clearly is at risk right now.
Well, and it speaks directly to the topic, you know, that we want to address regarding California and their assault on kids. And, you know, I made some statements yesterday that were quite harsh. And I said, look, you know, where do patriots need to be? Well, they need to be in school board meetings defending, physically if necessary, the rights of parents to defend their kids from pornographic material. For a mother to be standing in front of the school board reading from a script that her daughter was required to act out in front of a classroom at 9-10 years of age, basically what would be a pornographic script in a pornographic film, and when she begins to read it, the school board says you can't read that because you're in a public place. But her 10-year-old daughter was able to do it in her classroom and was forced to by the teacher as an assignment. Patriots need to be standing around her, shielding her, and making sure that the school board hears that message. And I said, we're at war. What do I mean? There is a war on your children. There is a war on kids that is happening today in the school, in society, in the public arena. It is a war on children, and we have to stand up against the evil. That's my point.
It's something that every parent should be standing for, and basically every decent American. This is not an issue where those who favor morals and values are in the minority. Don't buy it. And don't let them call you bigots. They support the castration of minors. They're out of control. They're out of their mind. They support the sexual assault of minors. You let boys, unaltered boys, decide that they're a girl and go into the girl's bathroom. And we've already seen it happen. So don't pretend. Don't fake it. We had too many people from the NCAA swim team now complain that Leah Thomas was exposing himself, not herself, himself, unaltered, in the women's bathroom. And we're talking about sexual assault survivors in the bathroom, in the changing room, in the locker room, in the showers, being exposed to a man against their will. This was sexual harassment by the NCAA and all 8 colleges. And every one of those administrators ought to have been called in front of a judge. But that's not what's happening today, because we're not demanding it. It's time to demand that they be hauled in front of a judge for involuntary sexual harassment. If you want to compete in our swim team, what you've worked all your life for, and you're a woman, Title IX is out the window. You have no rights anymore.
Yeah.
You have the right to have sexual assault and sexual harassment inflicted upon you while this guy takes your trophy away. That's the right that women have. Every single woman who backs this stuff backs her own submission to men who are simply misogynist and out of control. Stop it. Don't pretend that this is safe. Don't pretend that this is true or this is right. Having a daughter read a script that you yourself don't want read out in public at a school board meeting, well, that means that the teacher in question ought to be in front of a judge, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
But we're not demanding it. We're not saying this is illegal. This is immoral. This is stupid. This is bigoted. Nobody's saying it.
Well, and Rabbi, you know, the other challenge is you know, the sheriff in these counties should be in those meetings listening to this evidence and then issuing arrests. Pulling those people to jail and then if you have a district attorney that won't bring the necessary charges, then they need to be arrested.
We just had a judge in Washington, D.C. This will sound unrelated for a minute, but it's clearly not. The judge said that when the laws are selectively enforced to be bigoted against a particular group, that is government trying to control the narrative. Throughout the BLM protests, protesters were drawing with chalk on sidewalks all over Washington, D.C., and nobody was arrested. Two anti-abortion, pro-life protesters write with chalk in front of an abortion clinic on public property, and they are arrested for the exact same crime that everybody else was allowed to do with impunity. That's called the government selectively controlling the narrative. That is why the judge said this can go back to false arrest and prosecution, because, again, Washington, D.C. being out of control. It's all about the government being controlled by this leftist narrative and saying, oh, we're only going to allow you to hear a certain perspective, or we're not going to allow you to say to us in a school board meeting what your daughter was forced to perform. It's like, okay, yeah. So Mr. President, you've just admitted that what my daughter was inflicted upon my daughter in her classroom was a crime, and you supported the commission of that crime. Yeah. Why are you not being hauled in front of a judge right now, along with that teacher, along with that principal, to answer for the crime that you have just admitted you committed?
Absolutely.
Pretty straight.
Yeah.
Pretty straight.
Absolutely. Well, and that segues into what California law has passed now. If I'm not mistaken, Rabbi, I thought I read, and I don't remember which state it was in, but I thought I read that there was another state that had a very similar law to that relative to essentially assaulting parents who would not go along with having their child mutilated. But I know California in particular was the first one that came out and basically said, bring your child, or actually don't even bring your child come to our state. And we are going to take you into custody, and we are going to administer the castration drugs. We are going to provide you with services to cut off your perfectly healthy breasts and to change your gender by forming and creating body parts that don't exist. And we are going to hold you, and no one can come and take you from us. Your parents have no right in our state.
First of all, you know, it's completely true, but I want to stop you on one thing that you said, which is change your gender. That's a fraud.
You can't.
It's a lie right. from beginning to end.
Right.
No matter how many surgeries you administer to mutilate a healthy human being, and no matter how many hormones, every single cell from birth to death, from conception to death, is going to be either XX or XY or a very unfortunate genetic aberration. Those are the three options. And don't hide behind genetic aberrations, as the left routinely does, to claim that there are other genders. There are two. And it's very clear. It's not. We're not just talking about the Bible over here. We're talking about Darwin. The idea that gender is something you can just play with means that reproduction goes out the window. None of the people who are given these treatments, especially the surgical ones, but even the hormonal ones,
right.
it affects their ability to reproduce for life. For life. It's gone. They will never experience being a biological parent, which everybody understands in every other context to be a tragedy, to be a horrible outcome. When it's very unfortunate that people can't have children, and of course they adopt and they are able to bring up children, which is because having children and raising children is a wonderful gift. And this idea that we're voluntarily taking it away from people, taking it away from minors who have no idea what they're getting into. Again, it's criminal. This is abuse. I've heard that Chloe Cole is now suing, and of course, we should wish her well on that, because after all those treatments she was given, she was not allowed to develop her mental health.
Yeah.
If it's okay with you, I want to go back to what you said about California.
Please.
And what they're doing.
Yep.
Because in California in particular, we all know that children are malleable and that children have all kinds of immature ideas that they grow out of. They want to be a fireman. Do you imagine locking a person in to what profession they wanted to be when they were eight? And that's what it is to lock a person into the other gender and be sure they'll never procreate
right.
at the age of 11.
Right.
It's not fundamentally different. Well, in California, they've decided that, let's say you have a couple and both members of the couple are committed to traditional moral values. But then one of them, as part of the divorce, as part of what makes their relationship fall apart, one of them decides, I'm throwing away all that Bible stuff. I'm going to believe in everything else. And not only that, I want to get back at my husband, at my wife, whatever it is. That spouse, after losing a custody battle in any sane state, like Missouri, can then take that child to California. This is the non-custodial parent claiming the child is in California because the child needs transgender treatment, quote unquote, gender affirming care, which is nonsense, which is stupidity. It's gender denying care. It's not care. Every phrase, every piece of that is a lie. It's
right.
not a successful change in gender. It's not affirming anything. It's denying reality.
Yeah.
And it's not care. And they take them to California, and California says, oh, okay, you can keep them here despite the custody agreement, despite what the family court judge said.
Yeah.
And you can thus inflict those treatments on the child just in order to get back at the spouse. There's not a planet on which that's rational or moral or decent.
No.
And that's California policy. And in Washington state, it is now state policy. They're now just now being sued for it. Washington state policy is that a child can run away from home, find another home to live in order to get trans treatment, again, at the age of 11 or 12. They're supporting running away from home as long as you claim you're trans. Wow, that's great. I mean, children have never, ever adopted stupid things just to get back at their parents. I mean, never.
Well, and unfortunately, you know, Chick-fil-A is now supporting, I believe it's called Covenant House. I'll double check the name on that. But they support this trans movement. And so Chick-fil-A's foundation, having shifted their funds from Salvation Army, is now supporting an organization that helps to house these kids.
And there you go. And this is what Washington State now approves of. As you say, there are organizations, there are charities supporting this. And, you know, it's time for us to say, you know, that right is right, wrong is wrong. You're declaring that the sun rises in the West. It doesn't work that way. Reality doesn't change to suit, you know, I am always imagined myself a 6'5" Chinese basketball player, but the coach would never put me on the team. I don't know. It was bigotry. It was discrimination. It was horrible. I needed affirming care. I would have committed suicide. I mean, all these things are false. Every piece, every detail is more ridiculous than the last. And the consistent message throughout it is, if you follow the Bible, it's because you're a bigot. That's the message.
Yeah, it is. And it's dangerous, Rabbi. I mean, you know, that's the other piece to this that I think is so important for us to message and for people to understand. They are attacking and assaulting entire generations. And sure. and this attack against these generations now, you know, some of these young people, like Chloe Coles, you know, that her story, but there are a lot of detransitioners now that, you know, that at 13 years of age, 12 years of age, 11 years of age, were convinced by people that they should have been able to trust, school counselors and such, that this was the appropriate action, that their parents were just being non-supportive, and that messaging about, you know, the anti-parent messaging and the anti-family messaging and all of this, this is all a part of it. I talked about this last week. I talked about perilous times and what the Bible has to say about, you know, what end times is going to look like and the behaviors and so on, and destroying the family so that women are alone in the home trying to play both roles, trying to raise their kids. And then you have the predators that come into those homes that prey upon their children and prey upon the woman. And if a proper patriarchal, biblical house is intact, then there's a man that's in that house. And predators even say, there are interviews with predators that are out there that say, if there's a father in the home and he's an engaged father, they cross that child off their list. They're not even going to try. But if there's no dad, if it's just the mom, if the child is alone in that kind of an environment, oh, the predator is like, I got this one. I got this one. If I want him, I'm going to get him. Ladies and gentlemen, yeah, final thoughts, because we're at the end of our time.
It's all interrelated, but in 100 years, history is going to be laughing at American society and how crazy, how out of control, how stupid. And by the way, you can hear it right now in cultures from Africa to Asia, where they have some still attachment to basic biology and humanity and humanitarian values. And they're looking at it going, this is absolutely insane. We look at, how do you look at the Romans today, the barbarian Romans? And this is not different. Society is going to look at these people and say, this was barbaric.
Coalition for Jewish Values.org. Coalition for FOR Jewish Values.org. Rabbi Yaakov Menken. Rabbi, again, it's always such a joy. Thanks for being with me today. I greatly appreciate it.
The time flew. Thanks so much.
It sure did. All right, we're going to take our break. We'll be back. Robert Woodson joins me on the other side. Back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this brief break.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural ortho-silic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring, that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts, which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear, even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code CHOSENGENRADIO at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code CHOSENGENRADIO. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. And I am incredibly honored to have my next guest on the program. There have been a number of wonderful people, including Johanna and others, who have been trying to connect he and I to do a segment together on this program for the last couple of years, actually, and I am just absolutely thrilled. I know that his schedule is incredibly busy. He's the founder and president of the Woodson Center, 1776 Unites, and Voices of Black Mothers United. He is an influential leader on issues of poverty, alleviation. My goodness, why didn't that word want to come to my mind? Empowering disadvantaged communities to become agents of their own uplift. He is also a frequent advisor to local, state, and federal government officials, as well as business and philanthropic organizations. I've played pieces of interviews that he's doing recently. I just played a piece and an interview that he was involved in, and I welcome Robert Woodson Sr. Mr. Woodson, welcome. It's great to have you. Thanks so much for being with me today.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
You know, we're this issue, they keep propagating this. I mean, this is one of their big issues of divide. CRT, the 1619 project, the reparations issue. It just over and over and over again. I think that has this has a lot to do with the whole issue of Michael Orr and the TUIs. I think Michael Orr has been hijacked by the NFL and BLM to be convinced that that his story needs to once again propagate the idea of, you know, racial inequality and victimhood and so on. You've been doing a great deal of incredible work to help people understand that we are brothers and sisters and that we all serve one God. Talk to me about that, and who is this primary audience that needs this message more than anyone else?
Well, thank you. One of my young scholars said that Delano Spears, he described what the opposition is. He says it's the group of wealthy, guilty whites, a small number of wealthy, guilty whites who are seeking absolutions from crimes they never committed. And they've been joined with a group of elite blacks who are seeking absolutions from injustices they never suffered.
Wow.
These two have come together. Yeah. And what they've done is they've appropriated the rich tradition of the civil rights movement, fighting against racism and injustice in America. And they have hijacked it and using it as a bludgeon against the nation's values. They are, and so that's what they're doing. They're using America's birth defect of slavery as a weapon against the nation. And they contend falsely that the problems facing low-income black communities with the high out-of-wedlock birth, the violence, and the high low educational achievement, that somehow these problems today are a legacy of slavery and Jim Crow, and therefore, as it was expressed in the 1619, that America is racism is in its DNA, and all white people are villains to be sanctioned, and all white black people are victims to be compensated. And, you know, how do you build a nation tearing things down? And this has touched off the kind of tribal warfare that we're witnessing. But they do this in the name of helping the poor and helping those who are victims of injustice. For instance, when they talk about defunding the police, well, 80% of black Americans polled do not support defund the police. They contend that racial discrimination is the biggest barrier to human flourishing. 60% of blacks do not support that contention. They do not believe racism is their biggest barrier. And so, but they are the ones that the press has embraced. The mainline media has placed them in the positions of being the principal power influencers. And that's what's driving this kind of narrative. And corporations and foundations and universities are caving in. And each of them are trying to contribute money and validation to this false narrative, and it's destroying the country.
So how important is it? One of the organizations that you lead is 1776 Unites. How important is it to correct their kind of perverted or warped view in 1619 Project of American history? What's the significance of fighting that fight?
Well, Hannah Nicole Jones brought together these black journalists at the New York Times and published this, and she won a Pulitzer for it. And now it's being used as a basis of curriculum in schools throughout the country. We believe that since the messengers for this damaging narrative is black, that the counter narrative should be generated by, led by blacks. And so I brought together a group of 23 scholars, and not all conservative, but sensible people. But we wanted to offer not a counter debate. We wanted to offer a positive counter and inspirational narrative that refutes what they're doing. So our essays chronicle, we challenge the lie that when whites were at their worst during segregation, blacks were at their best. And so we in our essays, we talk about 20 blacks who were born slaves who died millionaires. One of them actually went back and purchased a plantation on which they were a slave. When we were denied access to hotels, we built hotels in every city. We had our own railroad. All of this was financed within the black community.
But it was also done under the auspices of the United States of America. And so if America's roots are all racist, then you couldn't get the loans. No one would give you the money. You couldn't buy the property. I mean, I understand that there were places where those issues existed. I get all that. But the reality is, in as I look back, look, I'm of an Italian heritage. I mean, we also experienced the same kind of thing. We had to build within our own community because nobody outside of our community would even talk to us.
Exactly. But that's the American creed.
Here we go.
Can come here, but the principles of, and our economic system rewards those who are willing to achieve against the odds. If you offer a product that people will buy, you can sell it in the American market. I'll give you an interesting, in the 1930s, in our area, Hayti section of Durham, North Carolina, we had a company that was one of the first to manufacture nylon stockings. Huh. And it sold to a national audience, but it had to hire an all-white sales force.
My goodness. Wow. To
a national audience. And I'll tell you another interesting story that's in our essays, that there was a guy named Elijah McCoy who was born of escaped parent, slaves, fugitive slaves, went to Canada. He became an engineer. When he came back here to get a job, because he was black with the Chicago Railroad, they gave him the worst job, the most dangerous, of oiling the wheels. But he was an inventor, so he invented a machine that would automatically lubricate the wheels, and thus the whole rail industry was able to move faster, and it revolutionized. And he had like 10 or 12 patents to his credit. But people began to develop knockoffs, but the owners of the railroad said, no, we want the real McCoy.
Oh, B. How about that? How about that?
So that's where that came from. And there are other stories like that. For instance, in Chicago, where we have all the violence and the despair and the depravity, in the Bronzeville section of Chicago in 1919, there were 731 black-owned businesses. We have $100 million in real estate assets in there in 1919, and only about a 9 to 10% out of wedlock birth at that time.
Wow.
So our ability to prosper was directly related to our Christian faith, and also the importance of the attitude of self-determination and the nuclear family.
So how, I mean, I'm so glad you bring that up, because those values are so critically important to the success of any community.
Right.
Why is it that you think there's been this shift? Because since the mid-1960s and through the 70s, that rate of traditional family has plummeted, and you see a black voting bloc that the Democratic Party always counts on that is supporting things like abortion and single parenthood and this quote-unquote woman's rights, which Aaron Russo came out and talked about how that was all about destroying the foundation of America. And then they've added in the LGBTQ agenda. These things are so counter to everything you just said. How did they do this?
Well, Thomas Sowell really documented in his latest book the fact that every generation after slavery, blacks progressed. The biggest poverty decline occurred between 1945 and 1965. And it went down about 40%. and that decline would have continued because of the institutions within the black community. That government was hostile to us. And so we had to rely on our own institutions, our own churches, Masonic organizations for survival. But that all changed. And so the poverty programs of the 60s did more destructiveness in the black community than anything that Jim Crow could have ever accomplished, because it separated work from income, and therefore it made the father redundant. And it was a conscious effort on the part of socialist policymakers at Columbia University, Cloud and Piven. But they couldn't have done it alone. Government also participated in the 60s in this welfare program, where welfare was redefined as social insurance to reparations. The Black Panther Party contributed by demonizing the nuclear family as being Eurocentric and therefore racist. The women's movement contributed too, because they were hostile to fathers. So you had this cataclysmic clash of major forces, together with the government opening welfare offices and actively recruiting people. So 3 to 4 million blacks were suddenly coming into the welfare system over a 4 or 5 year period, bankrupting New York, if you remember. And that was the plan. They said if we were able to bankrupt the existing system, then the country would be compelled to go to distribution of redistribution of income. So all of what you're witnessing today is a direct result. Government was hostile to us prior to the 60s, and we thrived. And suddenly they embraced us, and then they were the ones responsible for the decline.
So what you're saying is that it's not all slavery's fault.
It was nothing to do with slavery, absolutely nothing to do with slavery. The very fact that even after slavery, one of our scholars said they looked at the records of 6 major plantations to see what the family was like. 70% of all slave families had a man and a woman raising children.
Wow!
And they solidified those, and marriages soared right after slavery. We had one man who actually traveled after emancipation. Took him 3 years to hitchhike from Dallas to Arlington, Virginia, to reunite with his family. Can you imagine? Three years.
My.
He celebrated in Arlington. That shows you that the deep passion that they had for family.
Sure. Well, I think the other piece is that, you know, again, all of this success happened within the United States of America. It happened within the American system.
It did. And that's why what the left is doing now, by demonizing the what they've done is hide. The NAACP and the Urban League are no longer civil rights organizations. They're an extension of the LGBTQ movement.
Mm-hmm.
They are irrelevant. They are hostile to the interests of, they're putting the interests of these other groups. But what these other groups are doing is they're taking the rich legacy of the civil rights movement, and then they are applying it to movement, to the LGBTQ, the trans movement. And what they have done is they have used it to attack the family, to attack the flag. And so they're using the rich tradition of the civil rights movement to defame and to debase the very values that enabled Black America to survive slavery and Jim Crow. And so what's happening, you ask about the ballot box.
Yeah.
Johnson said, if I sign this civil rights bill, in effect, ends, that's every black, will be voting Democratic for 100 years. And that's what he knew.
He did.
It was sentimental. The Democrats would have a sentimental hold on the black vote. Even though the major declines are occurring in cities run by black Democratic office holders.
Right. Guys like the late Elijah Cummings.
Exactly. But the way they can get away with that is racism uses a shield and a spear.
Mm-hmm.
If the moment you begin to raise questions about why are poor blacks thriving, why are middle and upper income blacks are achieving, you got more blacks in college today than ever before, and more blacks in prison. If racism were the sole culprit, why aren't all blacks suffering equally?
Makes good sense. Makes good sense. Well, and you can't. I mean, the crime issues that are you know, a part of those communities are a direct result of these bad policies that are put in place by the very people that they vote into office.
Exactly, and the very fact that you detach work from income, you make fathers redundant. Some of these young people that I know have never attended a wedding.
Wow.
At age 23, they have never attended a wedding. That was unheard of in my time. I was born during the Depression in a low-income black neighborhood where we had holes in our shoes, but no one complained because everybody had holes in their shoes. You just look for a nice piece of solid cardboard to cut in. But elderly people could walk safely in that community, and children were not shot in their cribs.
Well, and I was just going to say, those same young people that have never been to a wedding, unfortunately, have probably been to several funerals.
Oh, many. I know many young people who have lost 6 or 7 friends before the age of 16.
And the majority of those losses are not white on black, but black on black murders.
In my first book, A Summons to Life, I mean, one of my books, The Triumphs of Joseph, I interviewed a woman who lost all 4 of her sons to homicide before the age of 30. All 4 in Washington, D.C., every one of her 4 sons.
It's criminal because it is oppression, but it is an oppression created by policies put in place by many leaders, black leaders, officials that are, you know, black Democrats that have been put into office who keep other individuals in their communities down.
It is true. But unfortunately, the answers are not political either.
Right.
It'd be hard-pressed to go to any low-income community. You can't tell me which political party is in power in the city or the state. Because for the consequence for people in these communities, it's the same. It is a moral and spiritual crisis that we're facing, not a political crisis. And then when we at the Woodson Center look for solutions, we have helped create islands of excellence within some of the most low-income, toxic, drug-infested communities, where peace zones have been created by people who are applying old values to these new challenges and are restoring groups. There are small pockets all over this country that the Woodson Center has been involved in where real solutions are being mounted, but they're using these old strategies but based upon the old values of self-determination, family, and faith in God.
Faith, yeah. Yeah. Well, and God's principles. I think a lot of people don't realize that, you know, why did God give the commandments that he gave in Exodus and in Deuteronomy? Because the Israelites were coming out of a pagan culture. They'd been living in a pagan culture. I mean, the similarities between those pagan cultures and what we're seeing in our country today are really staggering when you stop and think about it. And so God said, look, if you guys will live like this, you're going to flourish. You're going to be healthy. You're going to prosper. And they did. And it's the same thing today. If we would just get back to those Christian biblical principles, those Judeo-Christian, God-fearing, God-honoring ideologies, we would be succeeding.
Yeah, but Moses had to get Egypt out of the Israelites before the Israelites could get out of Egypt.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. All right. So, how do we work together how do we get Egypt, so to speak, out of the American psyche, because I think that it's been so inundated. You were talking about, you know, and it goes both ways. Look, I did Holy Hip Hop. I did a Holy Hip Hop show, and my show got picked up in one of the Carolina states, and they loved it. That it was doing really good, and so the program director reached out to my syndicator and said, "Hey, we need a picture of the jock so we can put it up on our page." Well, they got a picture of me. And the jock called him back and he said, I got to cancel the show. And so I called the guy and I said, what's the deal? And he said, look, man, I love your show. I love your message. I love what you're doing. But that face can't go on my station's website. Sorry. And that was the deal. And you know, and this is what we're talking about, though, right? I mean, you know what I'm saying? This is what we're talking about is we've got to make, we're building that bridge.
Yeah, what we did at the Woodson Center is, you know, we put together these essays. It's on a red, white, and black, rescuing America from, revisionists and race hustlers. It sold out in like 4 weeks. And we developed some curriculum that has now been downloaded 109,000 times in all 50 states.
Wow.
And 1619 has only been downloaded 16,000 times. But they have the blessings of the mainline media. But still, the school systems and others in every 50 state is embracing it. And people should go on our website, and they're available free. They tell inspiring stories about blacks and others in the past who have used the fundamental values and virtues of this nation as the building blocks for resisting slavery and Jim Crow. There's some marvelous stories of people achieving against the odds.
Amen.
And we are the only people who wore the crown of thorns of slavery and discrimination. These other groups cannot be permitted to hijack it and apply it to their condition. So we're pushing back against the hijacking of the tradition. Our suffering, do not exploit our suffering.
Like the LGBTQ agenda as an example. Yeah.
It's like somebody stealing something that you own and walking past you in it.
Yep. Well, and sadly, and this is one of the things that I talk about when I talk about that issue on the program, it is destroying the conscience of our children. It is breaking down that moral fiber that becomes so critically important as you age and get older to have a successful community based on good moral values. And there's no moral value in the LGBTQ community. I don't care what you tell me, period. You can't live that lifestyle and have moral values.
Well, the people that we serve are not confused about their pronouns.
Here. It is the WoodsonCenter.org is the website, folks. WoodsonCenter.org. And at the very top, you can find, and there's even a tab that asks the question, how we help. Supporting Values Aligned Institutions, 1776 Unites, Community Affiliate Network, Voices of Black Mothers United, which we didn't really have a chance to get into yet today, but we'll do this again. And then the curriculum. And the curriculum, again, as Robert Woodson here has told us, it's free. It's free to download the curriculum and then educate yourselves. And I don't care if you're red, brown, yellow, black, or white. Get educated. Understand this issue. So when you get into a situation where there's a conversation that's taking place, you can have this conversation with confidence because you understand it. And I think, you know, that one of the ways the enemy confuses us is to create chaos through ignorance. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. Mr. Woodson, thank you for being with me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so very much. All right, we are going to take a break. When we come back, John Euler joins me on the other side. We'll talk about the trans agenda. Stay tuned. More Chosen Generation Radio coming at you right here, Chosen Generation Radio Show. And this particular segment, along with Rabbi Yaakov Menken that was in the first half hour, will all be packaged together, and you'll be able to see this and watch this and learn from it, and I hope that you will. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Thanks again for being with me today. We'll be back with more coming up right after this brief break.